Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Well, I'm ready for the Total Education News Show. It's because Q&A's kind of taking a hiatus for now, thanks to Maggie Stevens, but hopefully she'll come back in time. But I've been told by a lot of my listeners out there, they love the news show. And the reason why they love the news show is because you never know what's going to happen with my guests that I bring on Tuesday nights of the news show. And honestly, this as I bring my co-host Jarrett on, the truth is, Jarrett, that guess what? Education news can be covered every day. There's so much going on always in education.
Well, I mean, certainly, Neil, there's no doubt about that. And you always know how to balance, you know, keeping them off balance. And that's the important part of keeping everyone entertained.
Well, absolutely. And being able to talk about certain subjects. Jason has been rumored to be joining Twitter. That is going to be the funniest thing yet. And when that happens, I know that you're so pumped up about it, and I'm trying to get the search. So let's go to educationnews.org, but you find that hilarious, him being on Twitter, right?
I actually do, because I guess I will be the last person in America to not be a part of Twitter generation.
Okay, so let's go to our favorite, and that's educationnews.org, and they always have new ones. And this just sounds like a funny topic. And it says, and you know, we were ripping on educationnews.org, Jason and I, on Sunday. They only have, guess how many people like it on Facebook? 441 people or something. That's it. All right, so let's go. Tony Bennett.
Well, Neil, that's actually 441 more than like me on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, because you're not on Facebook. All right, so Tony Bennett's Indiana grade change scandal adds to Florida's woes. Okay, here we go. July has not been kind to Florida education establishment. The first state board of education spent the last 3 weeks going to war with its district superintendents over endless bickering with the formula that assigns letter grades to schools based on student achievement data. Then comes news that despite improved student performance on the state's standardized tests, the number of schools that will earn failing F grade will spike this year. And now Florida's newest hire, the great believer in accountability education commissioner Tony Bennett, not the Tony Bennett we know, was found to have changed the grade of a charter school run by a political donor when he was still the state superintendent in Indiana. Uh-oh. Mr. Tony Bennett was ready to go and sing on the the music circuit now after making that big mistake before he got hired. Sounds like another one of those great hires, doesn't it?
Well, Neil, this can't be a surprise to people. I mean, again, so much of our show going back from to the beginning of the origin of the show was about competition and does it make a difference? Does it create different scenarios? And, you know, when so much is tied to the scores of the student, you have to expect that there will be cheating.
Right, exactly. There's going to be cheating. There's going to be the situation, but this is awful that he just did this just to help out his buddy. So he was patting him on the back. He's supposed to be this accountability expert, and they hire him, Jarrett, and the guy cheats.
Well, yeah, except it's his buddy. I mean, there's a reason he got this job. There's a reason he was given this position, I should say. It's probably a better way to phrase it. And the reason he was given that position is because it was the opportunity for him to take care of his friend. I mean, this is nothing new in business for profit, probably not even in the nonprofit sector, you know. I mean, we see this repeatedly. People hire, if we're going to use negative words, cronies. If we're going to use positive words, friends. They hire friends. They hire people that they know will support them. Again, this is absolutely nothing new. In the business circle, where it is new is in the education circle.
Exactly. So let's continue. Oh, by the way, educationnews.org is only liked by 167 people on Facebook. I guess the people, the conservatives, don't want to be on Facebook. They're like you, Jared. But you're not conservative. Although Bennett...
I'm simply lazy.
Okay. Simply lazy. Okay. That's his new name, Simply Lazy. Although Bennett lost his re-election bid to Democratic Glenda Ritz last year, his national reputation as a tough reformer who believes that school results should speak for themselves landed him the job in Florida's education commissioner after he relinquished his Indiana post in January. Since taking over, he has been working to adopt the A through F rating system he created in Indiana for Florida schools. However, according to Tom LoBlanco of the Associated Press, the system was supposed to, this would be interesting if we had him on, supposed to be present, an objective view of school performance was frantically overhauled when Crystal House, a charter school run by Crystal DeHaan, was initially assigned a C grade due to low algebra scores. So Associated Press examined emails when Bennett and other district officials had scrambled to alter the system to make sure that DeHaan's school earned an A. Well, I hope that Mr. Tony Bennett, not the singer, resigns. This is, he needs to resign unless he wants to hang out with Michelle Rhee and hang out and teach how they tape kids' mouths shut. Let's go ahead and do that. All right, next one. States get enthusiastic over early high school completion programs. Again, this comes right on July 30th at educationnews.org. More states are adopting programs that offer financial incentives to students who complete high school in fewer than the traditional 4 years. That's interesting, Jared. Get paid to finish high school early. Kimberly Ray.
What's really interesting about that is that we addressed that in one of our other network shows, but it was more on the college level. Do we need to have 4 years of college to complete a degree and have an actual undergraduate degree? It is what we spoke about was, could we do it in less amount of time?
And it sounds like in high school they definitely can do it in less time, and they're rewarding them for it, and we'll find out why they're rewarding them for it.
Well, in college we can do it in less amount of time too. It's just a matter of that's the way college works.
Well, you got to party, Jared. You got to make sure that you're out getting the kegger every night, and then making sure you get to class to a certain amount of time.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. That adds at least a couple semesters.
I feel for college professors. Because they're probably all serious, and the kids are like, yeah, right, unless you're at certain schools. Okay, so Kimberly Raley of the USA Today reports, Idaho, Minnesota, South Dakota, Utah, and Indiana are offering college scholarships for early high school graduations, thanks to the savings districts are able to achieve in instructional costs. According to a senior policy analysis at the Education Commission of the States, Jennifer Dunay-Zinth, the growing number of early completion programs point their popularity both among education officials and students. Although not all states report the numbers of early graduates, in Indiana alone, 2004 took advantage of the program last year, a dramatic increase from 17 years before. According to the latest data from the National Center for Education Statistics, about 3% of high school graduates early nationwide, about half the states in the country allow early graduations. Although the number that encouraged the practice is much smaller. Jared, I think this is a good idea. Don't put these kids that are top-notch and force them to stay in school if they can work hard and finish early. I think it's great. And reward them for this.
Okay. There's a couple scenarios, a couple questions we kind of have to answer here. There's a maturity factor. Now, do you need to be entering college before you're 17, 18 years of age? There's a lot of dynamics in this that really need to be focused on and answered. I mean, if a certain population can finish this early, and Neil, what's important to recognize here is you said kind of like the top echelon of the students finishing early. Well, it doesn't necessarily need to be the top echelon. What if you have students who have gone the vocational route and they have finished early? I mean, we have, all you have to do is pick up the newspaper, and you can see a number of student athletes who have enrolled early into college because they have graduated. They've graduated early from high school. It's something that is not necessarily, although we haven't heard about it a lot, it's not necessarily something new. And particularly we see this in the student athlete, but it certainly crosses over to other dynamics, other realms. I think we need to address, you know, should a student be entering college before they're emotionally ready?
Right, exactly. Should they or shouldn't they? Should they stay or should they go?
I think every case is different. Every student is different. But for the most part, I think they should be staying until they've finished their senior year in the order that has been given. Now, does that mean we don't do that in college? I think college is a totally different scenario. Public education is free. That brings up a situation. I can guarantee you, Neil, this is not happening in the private school sector and the independent school sector.
No.
Because it's not free. They want to keep those students in there paying the tuition. They're not going to let them graduate early, even if they've taken AP courses. This is only a scenario that is happening in the public educational realm.
So let's go a little. So basically, it talked about this whole thing. It says, according to the latest data from the National Center for Education Statistics, it said about 3% nationwide did this and that they're rewarded for this. It is easy to see the benefits, as shaving time of high school could allow districts and states to realize substantial savings. In addition, many students don't consider their senior year to be particularly academically rigorous. That's true. Which means for at least some, sticking around makes little academic sense.
You know what, though? I'm not sure where the savings are, because that has been paid for before the school year has started. So, I mean, unless these students are graduating an entire year early, I don't see where the savings are, Neil. At least within the public school realm. Now, certainly the savings are perfectly evident in what that student saves by going to college a year early, or what they accumulate in college credits. But unless that student has graduated an entire year before they were supposed to, the school district has already paid for that student.
Well, what I also, and that's such a great point, and I think we've covered that enough, but I want my listeners to know, do you like the idea of adding an extra hour of the Total Education News Show at least till September? Or do we want a replacement for the Q&A show? Do we need an expert to bring on those questions till Maggie Stevens gets back? I think that Maggie and I were able, and I hear great background music of Jarrett, I think that Maggie and I were a great team, and I miss her. And I hope that she's back in September. But I love talking news, and I believe, honestly, I told Jarrett this from day one when we started this education network and where we're going now and where we're going even further into the next realm with the connections I'm making and all the different things, that this could be 5 days a week, 3 hours a day, and that we started it on 88.3 FM, and we had the ideas, created these shows, and we could be talking news every day because there's always great, interesting things. And you'll see, because we have to cover tomorrow for the Total Education Hour. You're listening to the Total Education News Show on the Total Education Network. When we get back, at least we're not talking the same topics of my other competition in education. Like, let's talk stimulus every day. And we'll be back in just a moment. Or charter schools. We're back to the Total Education News Show, the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information, Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And Jarrett and I are talking about that TV show that we have. And honestly, I'm really excited, Jarrett, that now it will be on my link and my website and everything. You can watch the TV show and see all the episodes on the YouTube channel thanks to Bethel Park TV. They created their own section for us. So you just click to the link and check out every one of the TV shows. And I honestly, if you know how crazy I am, Jarrett, I would do a show every week because I'm that nuts about just being on stage and being in entertainment. So let's continue the conversation. And The thing, again, with the whole thing, when we're talking about graduating early, it's not saving any dough. And this is the conservatives trying to say it's saving dough. All it's showing is some of these kids are bored. Some of these kids don't want to be in school the whole time. And we talk about, oh, this is awesome. I cannot believe this topic's on. And guess what? I'm going to do my first good old promotion of this, and I'll have to put it on as a link, but I will tell people. Study calls for cyberbullying education in elementary schools. Oh, what they need to do, Jared, is call me, the new online expert for the dangers of social media. I'm going to be doing lots of talks across the country on that. That's one of the new big things happening. Hopefully our book will be out and all those different things. But let's go into this. The Massachusetts Aggression Reduction Center, Mark, that's his funny name, the Massachusetts Aggression Reduction Center. That's funny, Jared. Do you like that name?
Well, I mean, certainly it's a name that you won't forget, or actually you will forget rather quite easily.
No, because I've never whoever created that name, I'm sure I have a lot of fans all over the country, Jared. No, it's called Mark from now on, has released a cyberbullying study about elementary school students. The calls for a change in the way states, districts, and schools address online bullying and its prevention. Well, I have the solution, Jared, and I'll continue to say this, and this will be up on a link as I launch it on all the stations, but you got to check the link out because they didn't create – oh, they did create a promo code. I'll promote the promo code at the end. According to Ann Collier, because remember, I own this station, Jared. It's not like the situation where I'm on that one station where I can't even mention my name. Huh, I wonder what station that is. According to Ann Collier of the Christian Science Monitor, another one of Jared's favorite publications, the study is the one that first researched elementary school-age youth. Collier said she believes that the study results demonstrate the need for social, emotional learning, and media literacy education starting in even lower grades. The MARC survey more than 11,700 students in third, fourth, and fifth graders in the variety of schools in New England between January 2010 and September 2012. Here's the problem with MARC right here, Jared. They're researching stuff that social media is completely different. Cyberbullying is completely different than that time that they researched. That's the one problem I already am going to say about this. The research has changed dramatically since then, even.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, again, this is something that we have addressed so frequently on all of our shows, whether television show, the radio shows that we've done. You know, this is an epidemic. You know, and yet it is something that is really divided, I believe, both the educational system and even our nation. There's a portion of our society that feels that, look, you know, this is just the way things are. You're not going to be able to change the way people think, the way they feel, and what they say. And we see this, and this is a little bit of off tangent, but we see this with Paula Deen and the people that have defended her, the people that have gone on the opposite side and have really attacked her. But we see this kind of, and I know this because even in my own family, there's half of my family that feels that, you know, there's a freedom of speech. And then this is where I'm going with the bullying, that you have the right to say what you think or feel. And my feeling about this is, and this is what Tim Allen has said, well, he actually hasn't said this, he said something different, and I'm getting there for all our listeners. He has actually said the more we use words that are offensive, the less they'll be offensive. I don't agree with that. And even within my own family, we've had this discussion of where half of my family feels that, yes, if you use bullying words, offensive words, they'll become less offensive. I don't agree with that.
I don't either. Yeah.
Okay, now, you tell our listeners why you don't agree with it.
If this is, honestly, I believe in my own heart that if I go and take Jarrett, and you'll see my size compared to Jarrett, and just beat the pulp out of him one time. Just, you know, leave him laying, bruise him up, and that's it. And compared to being verbally abused for 3 years, I believe that, or even beat up seven times, I believe the verbal abuse will last a lifetime more than the broken bones or the pain and suffering.
That's exactly right. And that's why that's something that I've tried to explain to both colleagues, both family, is that, you know, we look at these scenarios and we say, okay, in this circumstance, let's again throw out Paula Deen. She has gotten what she has deserved. But my point of that is we don't know how long she has done this. We don't know how long the cyberbully has written the negative comments on Facebook, on MySpace, if anybody uses MySpace.
Oh my gosh, Jared, that was research from
okay.
about 10 years ago.
I know, I shouldn't have thrown that out there. But the point that I'm making is that we don't know how long this has gone on, and if it has damaged one person, if in 30 years, 20 years, 15 years, one school year, it has kept another student, another child from taking a chance, taking a risk, then that is too great a price to pay. Freedom of speech does not mean you get to say whatever you want at the expense of the people that are around you.
Absolutely. I mean, and they think these words are always going to constantly hurt us. We just look at the Trayvon Martin trial. And based on specifically a race, we have created, in a lot of ways, so much division between African Americans and Caucasians again, and so much division between gun activists and anti-gun activists, all these Republicans and Democrats, that through this, we're going back in history 100 years ago. And
but you know what?
The stain and the hatred and the things. So go ahead.
And you're right, Neil. And that is a point that needs to be addressed. But yet, when we have taken out the negative words, and certainly we could use all of them, and we probably wouldn't be on the air anymore. But every
listeners, the sad thing is, on internet radio, we could use every one of the words, but
well,
I won't use them.
It's certainly right. Neither will I. The point being is that these words are out there, and I think we are a better society for not using these words, for staying away from them, than we are in the direction that people like the comedian Tim Allen, the late Lenny Bruce, who have argued that if we use these words so frequently, they will lose all their offensiveness. And I just don't believe that.
No, you're never going to do it, because the bullies have gone from days on age. Hatred, hurting people with words, it's so powerful, and it really changes, and really never ends. Honestly, if we go back to when African Americans had no rights, if they talked about what was worse, a beating or the words that they had to endure every day and the lack of rights that they had, they would probably say they'd talk more about their rights. So it's very go on.
And that is correct, Neil, and I want to jump in here only because I'm reinforcing the argument that you're making. From a personal standpoint for our listeners, from an anecdotal standpoint, I was, as a high school student, I was more held back and damaged is not probably the right word, but more hurt by words than I was ever by any physical action.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, one thing that it leads to is depression. It leads to anxiety. It leads to suicide. So let's go into the cyberbullying thing before I have to say adieu to you, because you're not going to stay on the entire hour today because you didn't know you would have to. But that's fine. And I am sure that people, my listeners, are like, oh, no, Neil's going to do it by himself for the second half hour. He's going to be crazy. And you're right. I probably will. So let's go into this a little bit. Again, most elementary cyberbullying occurred on online games. Over 90% of third graders reported playing interactive games online, while just 35% of subjects reported owning a cell phone, the device most widely considered to be a major source of digital bullying. Children at the highest risk for repeatedly cyberbullying others were the most likely to report problems on Facebook, email, or through text messaging. Now, text messaging is ending, Jared, because parents look at that. So now they're using, and this is how, again, Mark, the Massachusetts Aggression Reduction Center, whoever created that, their research is outdated because it's now Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And the problem is not just cyberbullying out there. There are childhood predators. There are pedophiles. There are traffickers. And there are kids. So how can we protect our kids from this? And if we're allowing elementary kids to be on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, which many people are doing, that's a big problem. That is a huge problem, the decision they're making at an early age for these kids.
And certainly it is, Neil. And one of the biggest components of that, or the biggest problems of that, is the ability to stay anonymous. You can post anything negative about another person, another situation, and yet still be veiled in secrecy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
In fact, I might say to the people that are listening tonight, our listeners, is that it's even worse, because when you can be anonymous, you typically say things far worse or do things far worse than what you normally would do.
The sad thing, and I'm not going to bring up a situation except this occurred somewhere with kids, because I'm not going to say it was anywhere that our listening audience would know. There was a kid that created an account, went out, started stuff, but he might not even have created it, basically got such a backlash from the community in high school, he committed suicide. And based on being a boy and based on understanding in certain aspects what a boy does, he could not, and this is what their brain, how brains of boys at 16, 17 years old are not able to develop and understand these things. So online parents, you need to protect your kids. And the big, big way to protect your kids, and this is where we're going to take a break, and I want to go into more without Jarrett, and maybe Jarrett will stay on for a second or two or not. Go to, right now, I want everyone, it's going to be the link on this show page, because anytime we have an article like this, we'll talk about it. Go to FamilySignal.com right now. Go to FamilySignal.com and click on the Try the Demo. And trust me, parents, you now will get your children protected. And remember, when you sign up, write promo code TOTALTUTOR down. And really, honestly, guys, this is something that will end cyberbullying online through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Because when you can monitor your kids' social media and get an instant message the time that it happens, you will stop cyberbullying. And we're going to talk about some big things. Alicia will be on the network very soon to talk about her horrific story. And also, Dr. Shelley will be talking about that. So, when we get back, probably not more Jarrett. But remember, everyone, to go to, again, FamilySignal.com and click on and sign up and use promo code TOTALTUTOR. You're listening to the Total Education News Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education News Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information, Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, and oh my. I'm by myself, and I'm so glad that I was able to talk about how to protect your kids and that link will be on all the show pages. All right, so let's continue this conversation with the cyberbullying and see what they did. Now, this is it. The co-host for the second half of the show will be the article. So I'm going to kind of go back into the Limbaugh days and the Glenn Beck days and my good old friends and all these other conservative talk shows, but I'm just saying because they're the ones that do it. Mark suggested that elementary cyberbullying education should probably include lessons relevant to online gaming playing dynamics. Also, when a child is aged 8 to 11, reports a problem on Facebook. Stop here. What are you talking about? 8 to 11 on Facebook. Facebook. Data shows that Facebook use is increasing among elementary school age students. The use of Facebook increased among 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders between 2010 and 2012, especially among girls, according to a study. In 2010, 19% of girls were using Facebook, and now this number has rose to 49% in 2012. Are you kidding me? And honestly, when you think about this, ladies and gentlemen, this occurs, bullying occurs between girls more than boys in a way that's very verbally abusive, that leads to suicide. It leads to these things. So when we're hearing about this, let's figure out a way to stop this. And I have the way. That's FamilySignal.com. But according to Mark, cell phone ownership increased in every grade. Among fourth graders, 26% owned cell phones in 2012 and increased by 35% in 2012. The study found that 52% of fifth graders and 22% of third graders reported owning cell phones by 2012. Stop here. My daughter's going into the third grade. My daughter will get a cell phone when she is 16 or 17. And when she does get a cell phone, it's not going to be a smartphone. And if there are smartphones, I hope that they have every monitoring protection system possible. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if your kids are connected to smartphones and they have connection to the internet, you are really causing big problems later on. So in every grade, smartphone ownership is increased and non-smart ownership has decreased in 2010 and 2012. Owning a smartphone was a significant risk factor for both being on cyberbullying and being cyberbullying victim. 12% of fifth graders, non-owners, and 18% of smartphone owners admitted being cyberbullied. Similarly, 12% of fifth grader non-owners and 4% of smartphone owners reported being a cyberbullying victim. Similar numbers were found for third and fourth graders. This is, again, one of my largest initiatives ever, ladies and gentlemen. Starting in September, I'm going to be going out and doing more and more of these talks. I am an advocate. I want our kids protected, and I'm going to tell parents about these dangers. And this is absolutely a scary thing. And I don't want to go into these numbers anymore. I'm just ready to send this article out to all of the people promoting Family Signal, my friends, my celebrity friends, my influential people, so that they can pass this on to parents, that this is really a scary thing. Great article, great way to kind of kick off the second half hour by myself. Again, go to TotalTutor.net and also Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And you'd see if you're on my Facebook, I will, you friend request me, I'll definitely take the friend request and we'll be ready to rock and roll. So let's go to the next article. I'd love to talk about this the whole time, but this is not my show about that, but it's very, very interesting. Oh my, this one would be another interesting one for Jason. Freedom From Religion Foundation threatens lawsuits in Alabama and New Hampshire. Okay. Freedom From Religion Foundation. I want to know about this group. The volatile combination of public education and religion has bubbled up again as New Hampshire High School notified a parent that she will no longer be allowed to pray on campus. According to Kathleen Rowan of the Scripps Howard News Service, Lizarda Urena has been praying in front of Concord High School building for the past several months, but she shall no longer be allowed to continue after the complaints from Freedom From Religion Foundation. Oh, my gosh. please, this is not a good thing by myself to have a mic on this article. This is absolutely where our freedom is ending, ladies and gentlemen. If you are not allowed to pray outside of a school building, what has happened to our freedom? Do we need to now say that we're communists thanks to this organization? And I'd love to have this organization on the radio show to talk about this, because I have no problem with you trying to separate religion from public education. But the girl, was just praying outside the school. She was not disrupting the environment. And if you have a situation where you have rules and of the difference between separation of church and state, I have no problem with this. I know as a Christian, I get upset and angered when I know that the Ten Commandments are removed after 30 years thanks to one complaint. However, this is just absolutely terrible. I'd love to have this person on the show. The group attorney sent a letter to the superintendent, Chris Wraith, saying the district should not allow Urena to continue praying at school. Wraith responded July 12th saying the district would tell Urena she could no longer pray on school district property. According to the Monitor, Wraith declined to comment this week. Principal Jean Conley did not respond to the request for comment. Urena said administrators have not formally told her to stop yet, but Conley has asked to speak with her, and she expects she'll be told to end the praying. Oh, my gosh. This is absolutely something I think I might have to bring up on the Total Education Hour, because I think that my other part of my national audience needs to hear this, especially my drive time show in Pittsburgh. You are really this is unbelievable. Now, if she's screaming outside, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise God, and disrupting people outside and forcing people and proselytizing people in a way that is really not what a Christian should be doing, then I understand. But if she's just quietly praying and you know that she's in prayer and somebody reported her, really, this school is a communist organization. And I really want to pick up the phone right now and get them on the show tomorrow and say, you come on tonight. You come on the Total Education Hour and talk about this. This is almost like a Hamlet Garcia type of situation. So let me continue this. So the principal is gutless. He did not respond for the request to comment. Uranus said administrators have not formally told her to stop yet. Okay, so this guy's gutless. According to the statement issued by the foundation, by allowing Uranus to pray on school property, the staff is showing support for religious expression. This group is a communist group. I have to get them on the radio show. I'm going to tweet them out if they have a Twitter. This is absolutely something I have never been this upset on my radio show in a long time, boys and girls. I was about to say boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Religious expression should have remained private. Uranus said that she plans to continue praying for the safety of students and faculty, although she will probably do either from home or from a gas station across the street. So let's find out what she's doing. So basically what they're saying is Uranus has said that she plans to continue praying for safety, although she'll probably do it either. So basically what this organization is saying, which is so shocking, showing support for religious expression that should have remained private. How does the organization, this foundation, believe prayer should be remain private? Let's get to know. Concord isn't the only district getting letters from foundation this week. Another lawsuit was threatened in Cullman, Alabama, over a Cullman County School's plan to hold a prayer caravan next month. Paul Gittes of Alabama.com reports the foundation took exception to plans by district leaders to drive all campus to say a 15-minute prayer. Although Superintendent Billy Coleman said that the caravan has not been canceled, all references have been taken off the district website and Facebook page. According to the announcement on the foundation website, the school system official prayer caravan event description on its website ended with, "It will be a time to lift our schools up to God and to ask His blessings for the upcoming school year." Now, I'm going to be honest with you, and after I was getting very, very frustrated, and this honestly, I want to post to Facebook, and so basically add a comment and post to Facebook. Unbelievable. And I'm going to type in unbelievable. I can't believe it. That's even better. I cannot believe it. And it's going to my Facebook. Trust me, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot believe it. And we're going to have to find out more about what happened to this whole situation. But it's absolutely something shocking. It's absolutely, and this is unbelievable, the segment's almost ended. It's absolutely something that I can't believe. And I want to get into more detail on this and find out more and dig into this organization. But praying outside the school is not allowed. So we can allow kids to go out and smoke cigarettes outside that are underage and really not go after them. But, you know, praying outside the school, you know, that's the situation. It's the same comparison as, you know what, a murderer gets 7 years and 5 years jail time for manslaughter, but Hamlet Garcia is going to get 7 years jail time because of his child's education. Very, 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 very sad situation. And this is an unbelievable thing. We'll go to the next article. And like I said, the article is my co-host for the second half hour. Arizona third graders to be left back if they can't read. Wow. This is just unbelievable. Some great articles that would have been fantastic for tomorrow's show. But again, our good friend Jarrett could not do the Q&A show. But I've decided that the Total Education News Show will go to 2 hours until Maggie Stevens comes back. Our prayers need to go to Maggie Stevens and her family. Family issues right now. And Maggie, I love doing the Q&A show with you, and I cannot wait till we're back doing it again. And I'm going to tweet that out tonight on Twitter. So remember to follow me on Twitter, Total Tutor, and Neil S. Haley Facebook, and tell me what you think of myself going solo. But who would have thought by this most controversial article that this would go on? Because I'm seriously so fired up right now. I'm going to find this organization and post on their Facebook wall, and I'm not done this, because I want to know more and see if they'll come on the radio show. We'll see if they are willing to have an interview with me. You're listening to the Total Education News Show on the Total Education Network. When we get back, I hope the controversy's ending this last 14 minutes, because I have the mic and I can talk about what I want. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education News Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information, Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And we have a double shot of the Total Education News Show this week, and I'm going solo the second half hour. Again, Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And that article was really something that is unbelievable. So let's go to the Arizona third graders to be left back if they can't read. Now, this is interesting. Finally, someone sticking out. Starting this year, Arizona third graders will need to show that they can read at grade level or they will not be promoted to fourth grade. Finally, according to Jonathan Reed of the Chronicle News Service, early estimates from the state's Department of Education place the number of kids who will be affected by the new requirements. Now, if they're special needs, then this is not. I might change my whole tune real quick. Pearl Chanasu, president of Expect More Arizona, thinks an additional 17,000 third graders are at risk for being held back. The state is focusing on third grade because this is the last year that students in Arizona spend learning how to read. Chanasu explains it's a critical academic milestone. Absolutely, it is. If children are proficient in reading at that time, their chances of success in their later education careers goes up substantially. Third grade is the last year when children are learning how to read, said Cindy Daniels, director of K-3 reading Move On When Reading for the Arizona State Board of Education. In fourth grade, she said, the curriculum flips and you're reading to learn. Amen. It is so true. Arizona is one of 15 states and the District of Columbia that has passed reading retention measures for third graders, according to the Education Commission of the United States. The new law requires that any third grader whose reading score fails for below the third grade level, an Arizona instrument to measure standards, AIMS test, to be held back for 1 year. The law requires that schools provide additional reading help to students who are left back in order to help them for proficiency. Schools can choose to provide either additional hours of tutoring or enroll children in summer or online courses. I am absolutely for this, and it would be very, very interesting to see if my colleagues on the education believe this, but this is something that we talking about being held back and writing an article on that specific thing. We have to lead back kids. If they're struggling, give them a second year, but provide extra opportunities in that year to get back so that they're ready to enter the fourth grade, you know, ready to go. Let's quit getting so many kids with reading disabilities. Let's quit keep giving kids IEPs and say that they're never going to progress to a certain area. It's very interesting. Today I was, reviewing a family's IEP or evaluation report, and it was poorly done. It was not explained to the parents. And that's one of the whole things of my advocacy with special needs kids. But retention. My wife has to go through this all the time, and I'm sure she's going to be happy I'm talking about this, where in Pennsylvania, kindergarten is not mandatory. So if they want to go on to the first grade, they're allowed to. While my wife will recommend if people will go or not go, if they feel it's not sufficient in certain ways, then they're gone. They go on, and a lot of times they end up in this situation. The law requires that schools provide additional reading help to students who are left back, which we talked about. It says more than 84,000 Arizona students are entering third grade this year. The law will apply to most of them, special education students as well, as some who are considered English language learners will be exempt. So, most of them, special ed students as well as others, that's good. Because if their disability is certain, meeting certain standards. I think that that's good. I mean, you got to say that the special needs or kids that can't speak English, you can't expect them to be that proficient, and you can move them on because you already have services provided for them. But when we're talking about the average learner, or we're talking the low-performing learner that is not able to read, that we graduate from high school, we see these literacy rates of 30 or 40%, I feel that this was something that they really need to stand up from, and it was very, very interesting. So I found that as a very, very interesting article, and all I'm finding from educationnews.org is you're rocking and rolling today. And let's continue with another article when it comes to the number of Florida schools graded F grows despite student gains. And that we have already kind of talked about that one. And I think we've gone through all the different things, and we're ready to move on and move on quickly. Again, go to TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook to contact me. Tell me what you think. And again, tomorrow, the Total Education Hour, more of this. And I'm fired up about two articles tonight. One I'm sending out to my crew. My Family Signal crew, and this is the first time I really promoted this. I'm looking to really launch this in September with a bunch of talks across the country and a lot of webinars and different things. But let's go to let's continue. Dropout indicators found for first graders. Okay, we're going to go to Montgomery, Maryland. And this is, it comes from education.org, educationweek.org. As tracking data on students grow ever more extensive, some Maryland educators are finding that the early warning signs of a student at risk of dropping out may become visible at the very start of their careers. You know what? I'm applauding these articles today. Finally, some people with some serious sense, after we had a bunch of wackadoodles and articles for the last one, that religious one. These are so true. I think that a lot of times when we're looking at kids in first grade, and we're seeing their struggles, we're seeing where they're at, we're seeing their family environment, they have a better chance of dropping out. Let's provide those extra resources that they need to be successful. Let's provide those opportunities for more one-on-one tutoring. Let's provide those opportunities of better counseling. Let's look at specifically the family dynamics and make sure we can create more home visits for these families. So let's continue with the thing. The affluent tech-savvy of 149,000 students in Montgomery County Public Schools in a suburb of Washington is the building of the first early warning systems in the country that can identify red flags for 75% of future dropouts as early as the second semester of first grade. It's a very sobering point, but it'll take an opportunity. If these kids are always with us, we can do something about this, said Thomas Chris C. West, Montgomery County's evaluation specialist. who built the tracking formula. Remember these signs of students who drop out. It doesn't. So, I mean, I am absolutely for this. I want to applaud again another education measure. The last two articles definitely show an applauding. I mean, if I would tweet out every one of this oodles and noodles that will air on the network. Again, we're recording on Tuesday. It will air in the network on Wednesday. So, I mean, on Thursday. So Thursday will be pretty heated, pretty crazy, pretty really knockout, drag out Thursday, especially with the controversial articles that were brought to the table once this all airs. So my thought in all this is, you know, this is where we're going. We need to identify the indicators. We need to look at kids that are struggling the most and provide the best opportunities for them to be successful. And we see these concerns. We see home life that's a very big problem. Why can't we provide them with a foster care if that's the case? Why can't we provide them with year-round schooling and possibly even consider boarding school for these kids so that we make sure that they still can become productive members of society and not dropouts? Because dropouts is a big, 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 big problem. All right, so let's continue on. Education Week is, again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And let's go to math teachers find Common Core more rigorous. Oh, wow, you're not doing 5 plus 6 in eighth grade. Sorry, that's, again, my cynical type of thing. So let's go to this article as we're kind of closing out tonight. And thank you again, Jarrett, for saving me from maybe sticking my foot in my mouth a little bit more. Math teachers, again, find more Common Core more rigorous than prior standards. Okay, so let's tweet this out. To my good old followers on Twitter, and the problem is, and isn't that nice when I'm not considered logged into Twitter, and I'm tweeting it out. And here's a story for us before I go. I think I was at the Giant Eagle today, and I saw one of Dance Moms and with the daughter, and I should have said something, and I didn't. I'm going to kick myself for not doing that. So a large majority of middle school math teachers say the Common Core is more rigorous than the state's prior mathematics standards. At the same time, most teachers reported receiving fewer than 20 hours of professional development over the past year related to Common Core, according to the new study. These and other findings come from the new joint project among researchers at several universities supported by a grant from the National Science Foundation. One particular dimension of the professional development that authors suggest would be especially important is helping teachers to meaningfully incorporate the Common Core standards for mathematical practice into their instruction. Another is to help teachers identify and gauge the quality of online materials that mesh well with standards. Given that most teachers report they still use math textbooks adopted prior to the Common Core. Okay, so that's great. That's fine and dandy. But who created this stuff to make it more difficult? What are we doing? A lot of real-world problems, and then when they get to college and they have to show their work in math? No, we were teaching them to think analytically. Again, I'm kudos if the Common Core is more difficult than the standards for public education beforehand. But you got to train the teachers better, guys. And you have to make sure that the students have the ability to be successful. If you have two students that are always getting straight A's and now they're failing the Common Core, what are you doing but just showing that you've had a complete mockery of education for 8 years? And now you're looking at it as a foolish thing. So President Obama, so Secretary Arne Duncan, what happens if that the Common Core ends up being your faux pas, your mistake, your big time thing that, guess what, based on George Bush's No Child Left Behind and then your programs as predecessors, you're really looking at a situation where it's never going to change. So that let's find out Common Core is too complex. The survey conducted this spring involved 403 middle school math teachers from 43 of 45 states to adopt the Common Core math standards. The study was conducted by researchers at the University of Rochester, Western Michigan University, Michigan State University, and Washington State Tri-Cities. Most of the math teachers reported being moderately or extensively familiar with the math standards, according to the study issued this month, but not everyone, about 14%, said they lacked this level of familiarity with the math content standards, and then 13% with math practice standards. regard to relative rigor, 86% said the Common Core content standards were more rigorous than the state's prior standards. About the same figure, 87% said the math practice standards were more rigorous than their prior standards. So, it's bigger, it's challenging, it's more difficult, okay? It's something where you have a situation where the kids aren't able to perform, okay? Let's kind of now take the hook, pull our students in, pull our teachers in, and say, all right, next year it's game time. It's time to make sure we prepare ourselves for the Common Core. What kind of in-services do we need to provide our teachers the first 2 weeks of the school year? What kind of inventory do we need to do when our students arrive to school to make sure that we can get them prepared for the test? All these things need to be considered and looked at by the administration. And if we're able to do that, I think we'll be in much better shape. But I'm not giving up. The Common Core is not going to work. I'm sure everyone in the world, especially the test-making giants, are creating test preparation books that can be made for more millions for them. So, basically, here's the biggest innovation. Teachers surveyed seemed especially upbeat about the math practice standards. The Common Core identities 8 practices, including making sense of problems, preserving them and solving them, reasonably abstracting and quantitatively modeling with mathematics, and constructing viable arguments and critiquing the reasoning of others. Okay, what are you going to do when it's calculus? What are you going to do, guys, when this is not going to always be the end-all be-all? I love when they come up with a method to say, okay, the way we taught math before, it's done. Let's make it more real-world and problem-solving. But what about kids that still don't know their multiplication tables? What about students that don't know their positive and negative integers, are not able to do multi-step problems? We're going to give them the more difficultness of creating application problems when they don't have any concrete ability to complete simple algebraic problems. So here comes my problem. You want to make changes, you make the standards more difficult, but yet you don't see what teachers have been teaching for the last 8 to 10 years. There should have been a lot more research done before Common Core kind of took its mainstay in the environment, but they didn't do that. Okay, great show tonight. Thank you again, Jarrett, for the first half hour, and thank you again to this anti-religious organization that's trying to ruin a poor girl's, prayer. And thank you again, Family Signal, for providing that component to protect kids online. I cannot wait to have Bob Simon on the network to talk about it more. He is the guru of understanding how to protect our kids from the dangers of social media. I hope everyone has a great day. We'll talk tomorrow. Some more great education talk. Love having it on the network. You go to TotalTrue.net and you'll see that all the shows are starting to go back up on the site so you can listen every day. Not just live. You can listen live all over the country. But, however, there's only a few places you can find them archived. Good night, everyone.